I'm not going to talk about any of the readings. I've had three things come across my attention this week, and you tell me something two or three times, I catch right on. Kay and I, usually on Shabbat evening, we'll go down and we'll sit and watch a class from Hillsdale College. And the class we've been watching is on C.S. Lewis. One of the lectures was on what is known as his Space Trilogy. And I had read that as a teenager when I was into science fiction. Thought it was pretty mediocre science fiction because I didn't understand what he was saying. So I decided to read it again, the trilogy. Still not my favorite book, but now I understand what he's doing, and I like what he's doing even though his writing is kind of turgid. Anyway, the one that I just finished is Perelandra, which is the second book in the series. And what that's talking about is a fresh new world, Venus, Perelandra, where Adam and Eve have not sinned. And he said something at the end of the book that made the whole thing worthwhile. We'll get to that in a minute. The second thing was Doug Wilson up in Idaho, the Calvinist pastor that I enjoy. And he had an article on David and the question of rape, obviously dealing with the case of David and Bathsheba. That was kind of cool. And then he had a link on his site to a YouTube video by a guy named Jordan Peterson. And Jordan Peterson is a Canadian. He's a psychiatrist or a psychologist or something, college professor, among other things. Has recently come to belief in God. Very sharp guy, and he has what he calls an address to the church. And all three of them are sort of dealing with the same thing, and that is sex, gender, and what's going on today. So let me start with Lewis. He has a quote at the end of the book, which, as I say, made crawling through the cave for 10 pages worth the effort. And he says, gender is a reality, and a more fundamental reality than sex. Sex is, in fact, merely the adaptation to organic life of a fundamental polarity which divides all created things. Female sex is simply one of the things that have feminine gender. There are many others, and masculine and feminine meet us on planes of reality where male and female would be simply meaningless. So, for example, inanimate things have gender. Ships are called she, Mother Earth. And a mountain in Hebrew is masculine, not feminine. So gender is attached to things that have no sex whatsoever. And many of you have heard this riff, some of you are new, so I'll do it quickly. Masculine and feminine are fundamental to the universe. And it starts with God, who is masculine, who speaks to the earth, which is feminine. And so God speaks, and the earth responds. I'll give you some examples. Genesis 1, 11 through 13. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seeds, fruit trees bearing fruit, which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation. God spoke to the earth, and the earth responded and brought forth vegetation. Plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, trees bearing fruit, and so forth. Genesis 1:24. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds and the livestock according to their kinds and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the idea is God speaks to the earth. By the way, the earth in Genesis 1 is Eretz. And that is a feminine noun. So the earth is feminine. God speaks to it and it brings forth. which leads you to the fundamental distinction between masculine and feminine. Masculine is initiative, feminine is executive. Masculine initiates, feminine executes. Takes the information that the masculine gives, executes, and brings forth plants, animals, a family, all of those kinds of things. Fundamental difference. One of the things that we have done in our society is we have screwed up that relationship, which is, by the way, what all of these things that came across my windscreen this week are talking about. So the first thing is Lewis, who says, sex is, in fact, merely the adaptation of organic life of a fundamental polarity which divides all created things. Female sex is simply one of the things that have female gender. So female people have female gender, and oh, by the way, they have female sex because that's necessary for the organic expression of their gender. Similarly with males. We're in Jeremiah on Tuesday evenings, and a couple of weeks ago we were on Jeremiah 8, and there was something that I read in Jeremiah that went ding. I talked about it on Tuesday night. I haven't talked about it in here, so it'll be new to some of you. Those of you on Tuesday night, you can coast. It's in Jeremiah 8, verse 7. Even the stork in the heavens knows her times, and the turtle dove, swallow, and crane keep the time of their coming. But my people know not the rules of the Lord. What that is saying is everything except people do what they were created to do. And the example I used is every year the swallows come back to Capistrano. I don't know how they find Capistrano, but they always come back. Swallows just don't suddenly decide we're going to Hawaii or Morocco. They always come back to Capistrano because that's what they're designed to do. People are not so. What the Torah is God's instructions, if you will, that give to us, this is how humans should behave. It's sort of our equivalent of the built-in return to Capistrano thing, except it's not built in. It's given to us in a book, which means that we can choose to go to Capistrano or we can just say to heck with it and go to Argentina. We have the ability to do that. Because it is not wired into us, it is given to us externally as opposed to a swallow or a cow or any of those kinds of animals where it's wired inside. So that was the Jeremiah thing. One of the things that we're having right now is, of course, this pandemic of sexual confusion. In fact, it just broke my heart. Kay was looking at something and there was a thing from the Mirror in the UK. Didn't read the article or anything, but the headline said, couple is planning a gender reveal party for their 8-year-old. Which is to say, that 8-year-old is going to choose its sex, whatever that is, and the parents are having a gender reveal party for that. I can't express how evil and sick that is. But that's the whole point. In the case of horses, horses do not line up to be gelded. They don't. If you need to make a gelding out of a horse, it takes a little bit of work and he doesn't cooperate. Whereas humans, because things are not wired into us, can be tricked into lining up to have body parts chopped off for fashion. You see, the point of the Jeremiah phrase is people are different than animals. We don't have a lot of this stuff wired into us. We have to learn it. Then we get to Doug Wilson. Doug Wilson talks to the problem of modern feminism. He's responding to some article by a feminist church woman. And her thesis is, the power imbalance between David and Bathsheba makes that encounter rape. By the way, I haven't talked about David and Bathsheba in a while, but I've got an article on the website that talks about it. Bathsheba is not an innocent little girl. Bathsheba has grown up in the court. Her grandfather is one of David's advisors. Her father is one of David's mighty men. Her husband is one of David's mighty men. She knows how to navigate the court. And it is entirely possible that when she's up on the roof taking her bath, she knows that David hasn't left town. She knows what David's schedule is. She knows that she is visible from there. And it is entirely possible, not scriptural, possible, that she initiated the whole thing. Now, God holds David responsible for killing Uriah, her husband, and God holds David responsible for the adultery. Don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting that David is some innocent bystander here. But the point is, the feminist catechism is, if there is a difference in status or whatever, sex becomes rape. And it is not at all clear in the case of David and Bathsheba. In fact, one of the things you'll see later on is Bathsheba turns out to be a real power player. The widow of an adulterous relationship winds up being the queen. This is not some innocent young thing that just sort of got scooped up by an irresistible king. So anyway, what Wilson talks about, which I thought was very good, in the context of this feminist thing on power dichotomy, is God divides things vertically, people divide things horizontally. So what he means by that is you start down here with the lowest person in the world. He can be either good or bad. Economic and social status don't matter. You have good, pick an example, garbage collectors, and you have some bad garbage collectors. All the way up to the top, you've got some good kings and you got some bad kings. In other words, position vertically does not determine good or bad. That's a character issue. Our culture, however, stratifies things horizontally and says, these people are good, those people are bad. These people are innocent victims, those people are victimizers. So simply by your class, you fall into a category as opposed to the character of who you are. So that was Wilson's contribution to this little thing that I had. The idea there is, check your privilege, you're an oppressor, you're a slave owner, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And those are all horizontal divisions based on your gender, your skin color, whatever. You got this color skin, you're automatically a victim. You got that color skin, you're automatically an oppressor. So what Wilson is arguing against is that way of dividing up society. And by the way, I completely agree with him. Then we get to Jordan Peterson. Very, very popular among millennials. And his thing is sort of a variation. If you want to change the world, first make your bed. In many ways, he is the father that a lot of them don't have. Because he will say things to them. One of his things is, think again, sunshine. You guys are doing stinking thinking and you're going to mess everything up. Very popular among millennials. Anyway, he has recently, within the last couple of years, switched from being an atheist to being a believer. And one of the things he said is he rented out an auditorium in Toronto and was going to do a set of lectures on Genesis. Didn't know if anybody would come, didn't know if anybody would think he was qualified to talk about Genesis. Turns out he sold the place out, overflowing, packed, for like 15 lectures. And the thing that he said was interesting is the majority of his attendees were young men. Kay, my dear wife, has been in a conversation with a Latin Mass Catholic somewhere up in Michigan or Minnesota or, you know, one of them central northern states. And this gal is conservative Latin Mass Catholic, and one of the things that she is finding is young men are attracted to Latin Mass Catholicism. So what Peterson is saying is Western culture, our culture, is in the process of destroying young men. And he says that there are three lies that our culture pushes that are toxic. The first lie is that Western culture is patriarchal, domineering, colonizing. We go everywhere and we ruin things and we oppress the natives, and that's the nature of our culture, and this culture is toxic and we can't have any more of it. That's lie number one. Lie number two is human activity is despoiling the planet. The normal course of life, where you drive your car, you mine for coal, any of those kinds of things, is toxic to the planet, and we've got to stop that. And lie number three is all of this is designed and driven by young men. The aggressiveness of men and the acquisitiveness of men is the reason that our culture is so toxic and we are destroying the planet. Those are the three lies that he's talking about. Now, one of the things he said, which I thought was very interesting, is young men who are intelligent, responsible, the kinds of people you would want your daughter to marry, when they believe that stuff, they internalize guilt. Your reprobates don't care. The guys that are out there knocking over convenience stores and beating random people and all that, they don't care about that. You can't make them feel guilty. But the good young men can be made to feel guilty over this. And what they have done, by and large, is they have withdrawn. Withdrawn to the point that they don't even pursue wives. They don't form families. And one of the things that Peterson says, if young men are miserable and withdrawn, it will not be very long before young women are also miserable and withdrawn. Because young men are designed to lead. Remember, back to our discussion on gender. Initiative, executive. Young men are designed to initiate. Women are designed to execute. So if the young men are not forming families, are not starting businesses, and are not doing any of this stuff, the whole rest of the society is going to come to a screeching halt because the initiative is gone. And that, by the way, is what we're seeing. I don't watch Tucker Carlson, but I see him referred to all the time. He was getting yelled at, as he often does. He said that the problem with us is overeducated white liberals. And I'm going to editorialize here. When we talk about overeducated, what he means is over-credentialed. Because there's a whole lot of white liberals that spend a lot of time in college and they're not really educated, they're credentialed. And what he says is the people who yell at me on airplanes are 38-year-old white female lawyers who are barren. And those are the people who are driving these three lies that we talked about. The idea that our culture is toxic, well, the reason they think their culture is toxic is because they haven't done what God designed them to do, which is have families. You all remember years ago the feminist thing was you can have it all. You can have a career, you can be a lawyer, you can have a family. And what we're finding is people who have it all are really rare. Most of them spend their childbearing years getting educated and starting a career. And by the time they decide that, all right, now I'm going to start a family, biology doesn't cooperate. Years ago, I was at CU, and gal in the office had a friend who was a realtor and was talking to me about her. And this realtor was 40 years old, female, highly successful realtor, decided at the age of 38 to get married and start having children. And her comment was, it ain't happening. She isn't having any children. And what has happened then is you have women who should be joined by young men, start to form families and so forth during their prime years. These women have no hope. And so you see them out there angry, screaming, shouting. That's why this abortion thing is so toxic right now. Children are a blessing. Unless you're all by yourself. Then children are terrifying. And these young women who are out there screaming about abortion are terrified. Because the young men have been suppressed, held down, and have said, okay, if our culture is toxic and everything is toxic, I'm not going to contribute to it. I'm going to sit in the basement and play video games. That's a pandemic, folks. So, one of the things that Peterson says in his video, talking to the church, is, church, you're a mess. And by the way, Protestant church, you're the worst right now. And he says, what you need to do, what we need to do as a people and a society, is we need to recruit young men. We need to bring young men into the church. And his comment was, put a sign up on your church, young men welcome. And then put a box of brochures with an arrow pointing at more information. Because as young men engage, that's where the energy is in any culture. Not just us, everybody. Men my age, God hopes we have a little wisdom, but we don't have the drive and stuff to start a family all over again, to start businesses, to do stuff like that. That's the young men. That's what they're supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be getting out there. In the old fairy tale says, I'm leaving to find my fortune. That's what they're designed to do. And oh, by the way, they're designed to scoop up a young woman in that process and start a family. And so if they've dropped out, everything is going to fall apart. And that's what we're seeing, is stuff falling apart because young men are disengaged. So Peterson's message to the church is actively court young men. Get them in there and say, yeah, our church is a mess. You're a mess. Bring your energy and your enthusiasm here. Help get us straightened out, and we'll help you get straightened out. So as I say, I had three things come to me this week. Lewis's description of gender, which I thought was very good. It made the whole book worth reading. And then Wilson's analysis of how we have divided our society horizontally instead of vertically the way God does. In other words, a CEO can be a real good guy or he can be a real SOB. Same thing with a garbage man. Vertical, not horizontal. It is not the case that simply because you are of a certain race, a certain class, a certain gender, you are automatically good or bad. That's not the way it works. That was Wilson's contribution. And then finally, Peterson's contribution was, these are the three lies that have caused young men in mass to drop out. Need to get a hold of young men and get them re-engaged. Because if we don't, it's going to be over. That's the way God designed it. And if you have a society that is aggressively functioning contrary to God's design, which you can do. Remember, I said, the book, you can disobey. He gave you the instructions. You don't have to obey them. But if you don't obey them, you wind up on the trash heap. Not immediately, but eventually. And Peterson's argument is, we're headed for the trash heap. We need to get back to God's plan, which is to say, get young men engaged and get their energy, starting families, joining churches, starting to do the things that young men are designed to do. And oh, by the way, if young men start doing that, young women will be a whole lot happier.